If you have a Bible, and I hope you do, let's turn together to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. If you don't have a Bible, not to worry. I will be projecting the longer scriptures that we're going to cover today in this sermon. But for this morning, we're going to be looking at Galatians chapter 5 and just two verses, verses 22 and 23, and we'll get to those in a moment. So here's a question. It's almost a silly question given what's going on, but have you been to the grocery store lately? Have you been grocery shopping? Well, as you know, then many of the aisles in our grocery stores have shelves that are picked clean. They're empty or near empty. Teresa and I were at the grocery store this week, and we noticed that the aisles that have all the staples, things like bread and meat and milk and eggs and, of course, toilet paper, are practically picked clean. But something else that we noticed is that there is a section of the grocery store that seems virtually untouched, and that is the produce section. You may not be able to get the toilet paper that you need, but you'll have your pick of fruit and vegetables as you need them. And so that's my way of introducing our topic this morning. This morning I want to pick up where we left off last week and to talk to you about the fruit of the Spirit. The Spirit of God works in our lives to change us and to produce in us what the Word of God calls the fruit of the Spirit. And so with that, let me direct your attention to Galatians chapter 5, and I'm going to project it on the screen here as well. And follow along as I read Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23. And the Apostle Paul, let me just set this up for you here as you're looking at this. He has just described for us the empty lives of those who are pursuing the flesh, the desires of the flesh. And so in contrast to that, he writes in verse 22, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law." Pray with me, please, just a moment. Father, we trust the work of your Spirit in our lives as we come to your word, praying, Father, that you would accomplish, as we sang, your purposes in us for your glory, that the earth would be filled with your glory. And so, Lord, help me in my weakness to not get in the way, but Lord, that you would be pleased to speak through me to your children, that we might become fit disciples, good ambassadors of Christ in this world. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, I entitled this sermon last week, and of course this is part two, A Compelling Life, and I have to say that I was tempted to not continue in our foundation series, to not preach part two of the sermon I began last week, the sermon on our core value of disciple making, and instead preach what I'm imagining other pastors are preaching today, a message that is a message of hope and encouragement in view of the COVID-19 scare. But I have to say that as I read through this text, I thought, oh my goodness, what better source of hope and encouragement, what better cause for us to rise up and rejoice, even in our circumstances, to know that right now the Holy Spirit is working in us, producing in us the beautiful fruit of the Spirit. Let me just list them out for us. I'm going to show them on the screen here. The fruit of the Spirit, according to Galatians 5, are these: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. These are often called nine graces. Remember, it's not the fruits of the Spirit, it's the fruit, what the Spirit produces in us. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, 9 graces that the Spirit of God is producing in us. And we need these graces in a time such as this in order to endure, in order to live wise and faithful lives for the glory of Christ in our present day. But if you think a bit about it as well, the world in which we live needs to see people who are growing in love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control, especially at a time like this when so many are filled with anxiety and fear and dread. And so we are that people. We've been called to be that people. And the Spirit of God is pleased to work in us if we would just submit ourselves to the work of the Spirit, so that we would become that, what the Scripture describes as the sweet aroma of Christ to the world. That we would live what I've been calling a compelling life, a life that gives evidence of the Spirit of God at work in us. People can't help but notice the work of the Spirit of God in a person, because it's the work is changing us from what we formerly were, what the Apostle Paul describes earlier in that chapter. We'll look briefly at that in a moment. But we're being transformed so that we are less like our former selves and more like Christ. And they can't help but notice. And some might become curious as to what's the source of this change that's going on in your life. Where is this coming from? And that will give us opportunity to talk to them about what Christ has done for them and will do for them if they would put their faith in Him. And then we would compel them and encourage them to follow us as we follow Christ. That's the dynamic of discipleship, is that they follow us as we follow Christ. And then, Lord willing, as they make disciples, others will follow them. And what has happened for centuries and centuries, the way the church has been built, will continue on in our lifetime as well. So, with that, let me recap for us what we covered last week. We looked at the first 3 graces of these 9 graces that are called the fruit of the Spirit. And last time, we learned first that this love that the Spirit would produce in us is a love that is from God, and it produces in us a love for God. A love from God that produces in us a love for God. We come to love God supremely. In other words, our love for God is our highest love, our greatest love. Because what we learned last week is that the only way we can love others rightly is if we love God supremely. And so that same love produces in us a love for God and a love for our neighbors. A godly love for our neighbors. A love that is like God's love. And this love of God in us that we're compelled to share will cause us to open our hearts to our neighbors. It'll cause us to love them like God loves them, the way God provides for them. And we'll begin to look out for their welfare. Again, because of the love of God in us. With so many people these days, because of the virus scare, looking out for their own selves, they've become very inward focused and looking to survive. And so all they can think of is what they need. Where we're going to shine brightly with Christ's love as we, with the love of God in us, begin to love our neighbor as ourselves. The second grace that the Spirit of God produces in us is joy. And we learned last week that the joy that the Spirit produces in us is an enduring joy. It's not a joy that's tied to circumstances. It's a joy that is founded on being in a right relationship with God through faith in Christ. The Word of God assures us that we are the children of God, that we are loved by our Father because we are His children. And this is cause for great joy. I mean, if nothing else is right in your world, to know that you are in a right relationship with God and that you are the object of His love in Christ is a cause for great joy. And this joy is a joy that that remains joyful, if I can say that, even in the face of adversity. Because we know that no matter what happens in this life, any of these events, they're just temporary. And what awaits us is an eternal future with Christ in a place where none of these adversities can touch us, a place where there's no sickness, no sadness, not even any death. In fact, we're assured in God's word that nothing, absolutely nothing, can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. And so that is, of course, great cause for joy. So the joy that the Spirit produces in us is this deep-seated, enduring joy. And thirdly, even in this time of anxiety and fear, the Spirit is producing in us peace. Peace. And as you're going to obviously be catching on here, it is first a peace with God. A peace with God. You see, we once faced a threat that is far greater than any virus. The deadly infection of sin that made us God's enemy. That's what God's word says, Romans 5:10. Sin that made us God's enemies. And it put us under the threat of the just wrath of God against our sins. That was our predicament. But now, by faith alone in Christ alone, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. But because now we're united with God in Christ, now that we have peace with God in Christ, His Spirit indwells us. And so now we have a peace from God. Peace with God and a peace now from God. A peace that Paul writes in Philippians 4 that guards our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So no matter what's going on around us, we've got this peace of God that has garrisoned itself around us like bodyguards. It's a peace that the Word of God says passes understanding. It doesn't make sense. While others are losing their heads in anxiety and fear, we can have stability because of the peace of God guarding our hearts and minds in Christ. And so because the Spirit of God is producing in us this stabilizing peace, we can live peaceable lives, lives that are full of peace, living in a manner that is creating peace, being peacemakers, as the Lord Jesus Christ said, blessed are the peacemakers. Well, that's us because of the Spirit of God who lives in us. Now, let me stop for a moment. We just covered, as a recap, the first three graces here. Think for a moment with me. If we were just to display these three, love, joy, and peace, imagine the influence that that would have in our world today. Love, joy, and peace. It would be amazing. But the Spirit of God doesn't stop there. Let's go on to the next three. And we're only going to cover three today. There are nine total, so three more today. So if you're in Christ, His Spirit is also producing you in you, in addition to the love, joy, and peace, He's producing in you patience. Patience. Now, I suppose that the smallest increment of time that can be measured is the time between the time the light turns green and the guy in the car behind you honks his horn trying to get you to move. That's impatience, isn't it? And it's so very common these days. But the Spirit produces in us patience. The word in Greek is literally long passion or even long anger. Now that might confuse us. It's not describing someone who's able to hold on to their anger until the opportune time that they can patiently wait and then get their revenge. In fact, it's quite the opposite. What it means is slow to anger. A patient person is someone who is slow to become angry. In fact, it's an attribute that God describes of Himself. He described Himself this way in Exodus 34:6, and this is one I'll just read for you. You can turn there if you like. But in Exodus 34:6, God declares His name to Moses, and He says this, "The Lord," again, all caps, so it's the name of God, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger." Now, it's the same word, It's the same word. God was slow to anger with us. He was patient with us. He didn't treat us as our sins deserve, but rather he mercifully withheld his just punishment, the punishment that we deserved, and then he graciously forgave us because of Christ, because of the work of Christ on our behalf. And so now that we're in Christ, by faith in Christ alone, now the Holy Spirit is producing in us that same godly patience, that long suffering, that slow to become angry. So it is a patience toward God, to wait on the Lord, to trust in His promises, to trust in His timing. That takes patience, and it's a godly patience that the Spirit of God provides. But it also means a patience toward others, a patience toward others, that we are slow to anger, that we would display before them the true nature of God, that He is a God who is slow to anger. It's a way that we show the beauty of Christ in us. We live in a world that is quick to anger, quick to anger. In fact, back in verse 20, and again, this is where I was telling you we'd visit the sinful attributes that the Apostle Paul describes. But back in verse 20, and Teresa, if you could show this on the screen, this would be great. Listen to this list of the works of the flesh. And what I want you to look at, to see how many of them are anger-related. Paul writes in verse 20, and this is just a partial, a part of the great list, but he lists idolatry, sorcery, and here we go, here are the anger-based ones. Enmity, that's when you regard somebody as your enemy. Strife, that's anger-based. Jealousy, that's anger-based. Fits of anger, well, that's obvious. Rivalries, anger-based. Dissensions, anger-based. Divisions, anger-based. And then even in verse 21, envy. And I think an argument could be made that that too is anger-based. And so this list that Paul gives, it's actually a list of, a greater list of 15, 15 sinful actions, sinful pursuits that someone who is still pursuing the flesh engages in. And 8 of the 15 are anger-based. And that's why the Apostle James says in his letter that our anger does not produce God's righteousness. Of course, how could it? How could it? But I can tell you and say with great assurance that our godly patience, our slow to anger, does work God's righteousness because we're displaying an attribute of God that we are given the privilege of sharing in. In our short-tempered world, we can show ourselves to be children of our Heavenly Father by acting like He does in the world, by displaying godly patience that the Spirit of God is producing in us. So again, fourth fruit of the Spirit, or the fourth grace rather of the Spirit is patience. And fifthly is kindness. Kindness. Kindness is one of those qualities that is best understood if we show it like diamonds are showed, against a dark background. That's the way we best appreciate the attribute of kindness. In fact, I'm going to direct us to another piece of scripture. I'll project it on the screen here. But listen to how the Apostle Paul talks about us and our salvation. And again, this is a situation where he shows the kindness of God in Christ against a dark background. Here's the dark background. He writes in Titus 3:3, "For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another." And that sounds remarkably like what he's written in Galatians about the works of the flesh. But, verse 4 goes on to say, but, and here's the diamond against the black here, "but when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, He saved us." He saved us. So, again, the love of God, the patience of God toward us in Christ. So let me describe to you godly patience. This godly patience, this slow to anger, is this amazing gift. I've jumped attributes here. I should be talking about kindness. Let me talk to you about kindness. The works of the flesh stand in stark contrast to the kindness that the Lord God would create in us by His Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit. And because it's set against a dark background, it helps us better understand it. This kindness that the Spirit of God produces in us, it's not that shallow, it's nice to be nice kindness that Barney, that purple dinosaur that kids used to watch, would say. It's not that, nor is it a kindness that just is blind to sin. It doesn't see sin in the world. Rather, what it is a eyes wide open kind of kindness. It's a kindness toward others in the face of their sin, knowing that they're in sin. It's easy to be kind to kind people, isn't it? I mean, it's easy to be nice to nice people. But our kindness tends to dry up when we are dealing with not so nice people. We can become downright stingy with kindness toward people who offend us. We are short with them. We're miserly with our love. But I want you to think about that with me for a moment, because there's a part of us that feels justified in doing that. Because look at the way they're behaving. They're acting sinfully, and why should I show them kindness? Well, again, think with me for a moment. These people who are acting in a sinful way are acting in a manner consistent with what they are: unredeemed. But you and I, if we withhold kindness toward them, we are not acting like what we are, like the redeemed, a people toward whom God has shown great kindness in Christ. Remember the kindness of our Lord Jesus Christ toward your sin. This is the kindness that the Spirit of God would produce in us and that we need to display in the world. And then lastly for today, that sixth grace, goodness. Goodness. The name Agatha is not as popular a name for women now as it used to be in times past. I guess it sounds old. You call somebody Agatha and it sounds like an old person. I think the best known Agatha is perhaps Agatha Christie, the mystery writer. Well, Agatha is from the Greek word for good. It means good. And the word here translated in the text, goodness, is of that same family. It describes someone who looks out for the welfare of others. Someone who has the best interest of others at heart. And this goodness that the Spirit produces in us, again, is a godly goodness. A goodness that is from God. A goodness that is like God's goodness. The Lord is good. It's the same goodness of God for which the psalmists call us to be thankful. I mean, we've heard this refrain: give thanks to the Lord, for He is what? For He is good. His mercy endures forever. God is good. He looks after the welfare of His creation. He causes the rain to fall on the just and the unjust. And so just as God would have us be holy as He is holy, I submit to you that He would have us be good as He is good, to display His goodness. And that's why He's given to us His Spirit, the Spirit of God producing in us that godly goodness, that genuine God-motivated concern for the welfare of others. Mingled in all the gloom and doom reporting of the COVID-19 virus, my heart's been cheered by these encouraging reports of displays of goodness that just sort of stand out from the fear and the self-centeredness that we see all around us. People who, in the midst of this crisis, are serving others. People who are giving of themselves to others. And I would speculate that some, no doubt, are motivated to be this way because they're Christians, because like you and like me, the Spirit of Christ indwells them and is producing in them this goodness. In fact, I read even this very morning about a church in Wisconsin, a small church, that decided, hey, there's a shortage of hand sanitizers. They went online and they found, I think it was the WHO, the World Health Organization's recipe for hand sanitizer. And they began to make it and distribute it so that others can have the benefit of that hand sanitizer. So, again, an act of goodness motivated because they're in the Spirit. The Spirit of God is producing it. But it is certain as well that there are others who are not Christians who are yet serving people. And of them, we would typically say they were serving, and here's the phrase that we commonly use, out of the goodness of their heart. Out of the goodness of their heart they served. A basic human goodness. Now let me ask you a question. We have committed our disciple-making efforts to people seeing the beauty of Christ in us, seeing the evidence of that transformation. Let me ask you this question. How will people notice the difference between Spirit-produced goodness, Lord willing, what is evident in your life, and that that human goodness, that out of the goodness of their heart kind of goodness? Well, on the surface, they're going to look exactly the same. And I guarantee you that the person who is the recipient of that goodness would not care one whit whether it's coming from the goodness of someone's heart or whether it's the Spirit-produced goodness. If you brought a needy neighbor a bag of groceries, and then the next week your neighbor who doesn't know Christ, out of concern for the neighbor, brings a bag of groceries as well, I can assure you that those two bags of groceries are going to taste the same, and the needy neighbor is going to be as appreciative of one as he is the other. So how are they going to tell the difference? Well, the difference between the two acts of goodness will only be discovered in the conversations that are sure to follow. That needy neighbor, just perplexed as to why his neighbors are showing him such kindness, he may ask the neighbor who doesn't know Christ, why are you doing this? But he will also ask you. And that's our opportunity to give the glory to God, to talk about what God has done for us, the kindness that he's shown us in Christ, the goodness he's shown us in Christ, the love that he's shown us in Christ. Goodness should be a trait, a grace that characterizes our life because we belong to God, because the Spirit of God is at work in us. So patience, kindness, and goodness. Three more of these graces, the fruit of the Spirit that the Spirit of God is producing in us. And I would say that more and more these should become the flavor of our lives, less and less like our former selves, more and more like what God would have us be in Christ as the Spirit works in us. And we become that sweet savor of Christ in the world today, so that people have a taste of what our God is like, a taste of the goodness of God, the beauty of Christ, the wonder of his gospel. And so this is the very heart of our disciple making. This is why we're talking about it. We follow Christ, and then by his Spirit, we're able to imitate Christ. We're able to show the world what Christ looks like as the Spirit of God produces these graces in us, these godly graces. And so that many might come to know Christ. That's our purpose in the world. And then that they would follow us as we follow Christ. Again, that's the dynamic of discipleship. We follow Christ and others follow us as we follow Christ. And then as they make disciples, others will follow them. And that's how it's been done through the centuries. And at this present time, with this present COVID-19 virus scare, this is our time to shine brightly. And so I would ask my Compass brothers and sisters to pray with me that God would be pleased to work mightily in us, that these graces that he promises to produce in us by his Spirit, that we would have them in full, that we would be doing our part, yielding to the work of God, availing ourselves to those things that he's provided for us that we would have these produced in us. His Spirit, living lives that are yielded to His Spirit, and His Word, that we would become not just students of the Word, filling our minds, but that God would change our hearts as well, that that Word of God would work in our hearts and create in us a love for people and a commitment to the gospel that others might come to know Christ. Pray with me, please. Well, Lord God, You, of course, above all, know the weakness of our flesh, that we might desire these things, but oftentimes we fall short of living these things. In fact, Lord God, I think at times I wonder, how can these things be seen in me? Well, I thank You for this assurance this morning that these are not things that we produce in ourselves, that if we go read a book or become more diligent, that we will become these things, but rather that Your Spirit is doing the work. And so, Lord God, help us to cooperate with Your Spirit, that we might do the works that You've called us to do in this earth for Your great glory, that others might see Christ in us, and for their great good, that they might come to know Christ and to follow Him. This is our prayer, in Jesus' name. Amen.